What is the difference this morning between living a life of victory, a life of power, or a defeated and powerless life? Let me tell you the difference. The difference is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Anchored Minister Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Power of God from our series, The Difference. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Power of God.
We started a series last week entitled The Difference. The difference. We looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10, and it says, if the axe is dull and the axeman does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. But notice, it's wisdom, right? It's wisdom to sharpen the axe, because this helps him to succeed with less effort. The difference. We quoted Abraham Lincoln last week, and Abraham Lincoln said, if I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, I spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. And then we talked about a poem called The Difference. I got up early this morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wonder? He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time. We're talking about the difference. This morning we want to deal with the difference between being a powerful individual or a powerless individual. Being a powerful person of God or being a powerless person of God. Our text this morning is derived from an Old Testament passage. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and it reads, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait, or too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one of them said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And Elisha said, I will go. And he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam or cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore, he said, take it up to thee, and put out his hand. and he took it. We're talking this morning about being powerful or powerless. Why are so many believers living defeated and powerless lives? Maybe it's because they haven't experienced the difference. What is the difference this morning between living a life of victory, a life of power, or a defeated and powerless life? Let me tell you the difference. The difference is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. If we find ourselves not being able to beat our way out of a wet paper bag, that means that there's no power on our lives. If we find ourselves being discouraged by every little whim and setback that comes our way, there's no power in our lives. If we find ourselves willing to throw our hands up at the slightest bit of opposition in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, where is the power of God upon my life? The difference, saints, I want to propose to you today is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it says that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are none of his. That if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. If you are sitting here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 5:18, it fills us. Be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then we see in Acts 1:8, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So I ask the question, how can you lose with the stuff you use? If you got the Holy Spirit, my goodness, if we have the living Spirit of God in us, and if you are here today, and you testify to the fact that you are saved. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us power. Look in Ephesians, and we should have that up there on the screen for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, who according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Notice what he said. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? To us. That this is a power that resides in us. But sad to say, many people are ignorant to the power that you have. Now I'm going to show you something here in a second. Man, you got power that's unbelievable. And many of us are ignorant toward that power. Heard the story about a man who lost his Bible, and he couldn't find it. And he searched everywhere in his house for his Bible. He searched in his car for his Bible. He searched on his job for his Bible, and he couldn't find it. And then one day, he was rearranging furniture, and he would rearrange this chair, and he picked up a cushion to dust underneath the chair, and there was his Bible underneath the cushion. This man sat on the power for months and months, and it was unavailable to him. That he didn't have his Bible that gave him direction and guidance in life. He didn't have his Bible, which showed him how to get the power. Instead, he sat on the power, not availing himself of it. How many of us have this power and we are ignorant to the power that we have? We are sitting on the power. Believers have an incredible power residing within us. As we go back and unpack this passage in Ephesians, and I'm going to get back to 2 Kings because that's where the text of our message is at. But as we unpack this message in Ephesians, notice that he uses four Greek words here for power. He uses the word dunamis, which we get the English word dynamite, that this gives you the ability to perform the task given by God. If God calls you to do something, he will empower you with dunamis to be able to do it. He uses another word for power in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, and that's the word energeo, which is working. And that means he gives you the energizing force to be able to do whatever it is you need to do. You got power to perform tasks. You have the energy to be able to do what the Spirit of God is calling you to do. And then I like this one. He says mighty, the word kratos, which means an overcoming power. And then ichthus, which is power, God's enabling strength. My friends, as Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. Let us reason together. Paul says that the same power that was instrumental in raising up Christ from the dead is in you. Now wait a minute. Either the scripture is true or it's telling a lie. I choose to believe the word of God. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. And he has given us this power to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. I was reading the story of Rockefeller, who was the world's first billionaire. For years, he lived on crackers and milk because he had stomach problems that was caused by worrying about his wealth. He rarely got a good night's sleep, and guards had to constantly stand at his door to watch over him. He was wealthy, but he was miserable. And I'd like to take that analogy and say, how many Christians have all this power, but they're miserable? My. You got all this power, and yet you're miserable. A defeated Christian, that's an oxymoron. There should not be such thing as a defeated Christian. All this power that we have, we got the same. Now, you know, as I was studying this passage, put that previous verse slide back up there with the verse on it. And he said, what is his exceeding greatness of his power, dunamis, towards us who believe, according to the working energeo of his mighty ichthus power? All this power, which he wrought in Christ. Now, this is going to blow your mind, because this is what I'm saying about a lot of people that don't understand this. In verse 18, which precedes these verses, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says this, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Paul knew that people were struggling to understand the power that they have. And so that's why he went ahead and explained it. Let me read that again. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Then he goes on to tell us about this power that we got, the same power that was used when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Can you imagine the power that it takes to bring a man back from the dead? We saw an example of that on Monday night, right? This guy had a cardiac arrest. By all means, he was dead. And look at all that they had to do for 20, 30 minutes, whatever it was, to try to bring this guy back to life. Thank God. We serve a God who was stone cold dead. Stone cold dead. And his body got back up again. He was raised from the dead. There was a man who took his family to Jerusalem. And while he was there, his mother-in-law passed away. And so he was trying to figure out what to do, and he met with a funeral director in Jerusalem, and the funeral director said that, well, we can do one of two things. You know, we can bury her here for $150, or you can ship her back to the United States for $1,500. And he thought about it for a minute. He said, well, I'm going to go ahead and ship her body back to the United States. And the funeral director said, that's a lot of money. You know, you could do it here for $150, and how come you don't want to do it here? He said, well, you know, I heard about a man who was buried here about 2,000 years ago, and he got up from the dead, and I don't want to take that chance over again. The power of God that got Jesus up from the dead. Let's look at the difference. The difference today. Now, I wanted to establish the point that you got all this power, right? Now that we've established it, let's go back and look at our story in 2 Kings chapter 6. And the first point that I want to make is that you have to recognize when the power has been lost. You got to recognize when the power has been lost. The prophets, these young prophets, these young preachers came to Elisha and they said that the place where we are being trained, the seminary where we are being trained is too small. We are getting more and more young prophets and we need to build a bigger school. And so it says that they went down to the Jordan and they began to cut down trees in order to expand their seminary. And they asked Elijah, would he go with them? And Elijah said, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head flew into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Alas, master, for it was borrowed. He lost his power. Have you ever tried to cut down a tree or chop wood with the handle of an axe? You're not going to make a whole lot of progress. And why is that? Because you lost the power. And we see, sadly, we see so many preachers, Christians, who continue to serve, and they serve powerless. They continue to try to cut down the trees of ministry with their axe, but they're hitting against the tree with the axe handle, and they have no power. The lesson that we can learn from this young prophet right here, and again, it's a common sense lesson, and that is, he had to stop what he was doing. He had to address the situation that his power was gone. couldn't just keep on business as usual. And so we ask the question, how many of us are continuing to do things? And you know, I just don't want to limit it to ministry. You know, I want to talk about husbands and wives. You've lost the power in your marriage. Fathers and mothers, you lost the power. You know, it says that Lot, when they came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and they told Lot to get his family out, and Lot went to his son-in-laws to tell them that we got to get up out of this place, it said that he spoke to him like one who was foolish. Why is that? Because Lot lost the power of his testimony. He lost the power that here he was. These angels came, stayed with him. The men of the city came and said, let us bring these men out so we can have sex with them. And Lot said, don't do such a thing. I have two daughters who have never known men. I will send them out to you. The man lost his testimony. And so no wonder when he went to his son-in-laws to say, we got to get up out of here, that they didn't listen to him. He lost his power. Maybe you lost the cutting edge on your job. You know, I was went back and I looked at some companies that lost their cutting edge. Just think about this. Blockbuster lost its cutting edge and went out of business. I remember, man, I used to go to Blockbuster all the time. They had stores all over the place, and you could go and rent videos, movies, and watch them. Because Netflix came along, and people started streaming online, and Blockbuster didn't try to, you know, keep up and keep his axe sharp, that they went out of business. A place that I would go, especially when my kids were growing up, every November and December, Toys R Us. Toys R Us went out of business. Now, I heard that they're trying to come back a little bit in one of these department stores, but they went out of business. Why? Because they lost their edge. They lost their cutting edge when people were going online buying stuff. They didn't make the transition. They didn't keep their edge sharp. Another place used to go all the time. Sears, right? Sears pretty much had to reduce to outlet stores. Why? Because they lost their cutting edge to Walmart and Target, Kmart, Hills. Let me tell you, go way back, right? Some of y'all remember Hills, right? Why did they go? They lost their cutting edge. And so maybe they should have stopped somewhere along the way, realized they lost their edge, and went and found how to sharpen it. How do you know when the power has been lost? Let me give you three ways that you know the power has been lost. First of all, you lose the eye of the tiger, right? I mean, there was a time, you know, in that Rocky movie, right? You got the rock. You got to get the eye of the tiger back. You got to get the eye of the tiger, right? That means that you're hungry. That means that you're driven. That means that you have that desire. You have that passion. You got to get the eye of the tiger back. I remember I was getting the eye of the tiger for working out. And many of you remember one of our members, Reggie Delaney. He was a personal trainer.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Power of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Power of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Power of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Power of God. Or call us at 8060. Keep in mind, the entire series, The Difference, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.